All right, welcome everyone back to Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Today we have Vic. I don't want to butcher your last name. Bakta?
Yep.
I did it right. It's, you know, it's rarity for me, but welcome to the show. Thank you so much. Head of Information Technology at Hayes Locums. Just a kind of a small, not a big deal recruiting firm. Really, really kind of a big deal, actually. As you guys recruit for, is it mostly healthcare?
Yep. Yeah. Primarily physicians.
So, which is a big deal. And I'm the third. So I'm actually Philip J. Howard the third. I don't tell many people that. I got made fun of that for that a lot. But you should be proud of this. You should be proud of this, right? Because my father, Philip J. Howard, is a retired urologist. So your guys do such a good job that they have found my cell phone number and recruit me to do partial locums tenens work as a urologist at various different places that you guys are looking for doctors for. So I should just take them up on that offer someday and just become a urologist maybe for like a couple months. What do you think? Would that work out?
It's not too late for a career change. Plus, you get to travel and, you know, help out people.
I asked my dad how hard it is to do a kidney transplant, and he said, it's really not that easy. It's just like, it's pretty easy. It's like plumbing. You know, you clamp here, you take it out, you put the new one in, clamp here. I was like, oh, okay.
It's just like everything. There's probably a YouTube video on it.
Yeah. There is a YouTube video. There is. In fact, now you've made me want to go down this dark hole of YouTubing, which brings up a good point. You are head of information technology at a fair. How many end users do you guys have?
Roughly 300.
Roughly 300. So, do you have a staff of more than three, or?
My total team is roughly about nine people.
How many?
Nine people total.
This is a very congratulations. I would like to. I had this great idea on the last show that we want to start sending awards out to presidents of companies and CEOs that value IT. So if you come on the show and you have any ratio greater than 1 to 100, so the average IT staff to end user ratio in the mid-market space, which you guys are in the mid-market space, it's, you know, is 1 to 100. You guys are 1 to 300. Am I doing that math right? So 1 to 30. So, well, I don't know, whatever this math. I stayed back in first grade. Whatever it is, you've got nine people and 300 end users, whatever that ratio is, okay? It's really, really good. So I would like to congratulate whoever approves the IT budget there. We need to send them an award. We should send them a Dissecting Popular IT Nerds word, like that you appreciate your IT people. Good job. And it shows, because clearly you guys are a successful company. But to transition back to the YouTube, there's a YouTube video on it. I did have an IT guy say once, you know, I'm a good IT director just because I'm a better Googler. I'm a better Googler than everybody else. So is there any truth to that?
I'd say Google is the bread and butter of IT. I mean, now that's outside of, you know, artificial intelligence and ChatGPT and all of those tools.
Are you guys using any AI in the business?
We are planning on leveraging AI. We are piloting Copilot on the just for a few internal users.
Okay. And what's AI going to do? Can we eliminate all the recruiters?
No, it's more of an enrichment tool. But I know that's the end game for every CEO. It's like, how many headcounts can I remove using AI?
How many heads can I cut? That's messed up. Employee number 520. You're done. So what's it planning to do for you guys, or what can we expect?
Well, there's a couple of cool tools actually. So another director on my team mentioned a help desk, a service desk AI tool where it'll help automate a tier one ticket. So if it's something that's in a knowledge base, it's like a chatbot. Right. So yep. It'll go through the knowledge portal, and if it can assist without having to burden a physical body, it'll go out and, you know, these are the instructions you need and guide them through the process as if it was a real person. So really those self-service tools is where I see ChatGPT helping on the service side of IT.
Wow. You just gave me a great, I, Well, I did have this idea because we're rebuilding the website right now, which I would, maybe you can give me some insight in, because you would think website and IT go hand in hand. I don't think it does. I'm going to hold that thought for a moment if you have any. I want to put some kind of like AI chatbot on the new website, not a lame chatbot, like a chatbot that's like, tell me your IT problems, like an IT psychologist or something like that. And like, let it go out to the universe and search and use all of our, you know, and find the right people to connect with that will help you solve said IT issue or problem. Kind of like what you were just saying, like this knowledge base. But then what you really made me think is you're like, just like a real person. You said just like a real person. We should be able to choose for fun. Do you want the condescending IT guy? Or do you, do you want the condescending IT guy? Or do you want the polite IT guy this type of guy? Like, what are you, some kind of idiot? Don't you know that it's just, you click here and you click there and you do this? Like, that, should it be that type of IT guy? Or should it be a different type of IT bot? That would just be, just maybe give someone
boys, grandma's boy vibes. Hello, nerds.
Oh, that movie is so inappropriate. Oh, I'm gonna cry. No. Yes, we need some kind of bot like that. What else can we do? Gamification stuff. We should make all these things. We should really bridge the gap. This is a business show, but that's fun. You guys, I feel like the heart of America is like three different businesses, like banks, recruiters, credit card falls under bank, financial planners fall under banks. Yeah, banks, recruiting, and then, you know, manufacturing, I guess. I don't know, but manufacturing, there's so many different things. Like, what else is there?
The service industry.
What's that?
I mean, how would you classify like a haircut in there?
Oh yeah, SMB guys, like just scraping by, or the heart of America, you know, it all got destroyed during COVID. Which is just randomly, how did COVID was probably great for you guys. We needed to recruit nurses like crazy.
At that time, no, we had a bit of, there was a lot of elective surgeries and elective procedures that were put on hold by many hospitals because they focused on COVID treatment. So certain aspects of our business stayed steady, but others dropped off. But post-COVID, we had that V-shaped recovery because everything was open for business and they had to catch up on time, especially for all those elective procedures. So post-COVID was very, we were fortunate to be in a good spot.
At Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, we expect to win, and we expect our IT directors to win. And one of those areas where we know that we can help you win is internet service providers. As an IT director tasked with managing internet connectivity, few vendor relationships can prove more painfully frustrating than the one with your internet service provider. The array of challenges seems never ending, from unreliable uptime and insufficient bandwidth to poor customer service and hidden fees. It's like getting stuck in rush hour traffic. Dealing with ISPs can try one's patience even on the best of days. So whether you are managing one location or 100 locations, our back office support team and vendor partners are the best in the industry. And the best part about this is none of this will ever cost you a dime due to the partnership and the sponsors that we have behind the scenes at Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Let us show you how we can manage away the mediocrity and hit it out of the park. We start by mapping all of the available fiber routes, and we use our 1.2 billion in combined customer buying power and massive economy of scale to map all of your locations, to overcome construction fees, to use industry historical data, to encourage providers to compete for the lowest possible pricing, to negotiate the lowest rates guaranteed, and to provide fast response times in hours, not days. And we leverage aggregators and wholesale relationships to ensure you get the best possible pricing available in the marketplace. And on top of all of this, you get proactive network monitoring and proactive alerts so that you're not left calling 1-800-GO-POUND-SAND to enter in a ticket number and wonder, why is my internet connection down? In short, We are the partner that you have always wanted, who understands your needs, your frustrations, and knows what you need without you having to ask. So we're still human, but we are some of the best, and we aim to win. This all starts with a value discovery call where we find out what you have, why you have it, and what's on your roadmap. All you need to do is email internet@popularit.net and say, I want help managing all of my internet garbage. Please make my life easier, and we'll get right on it for you. Have a wonderful day. Right now, if I were to ask you, when it comes to IT leadership and business, you don't have to answer this. You can answer the opposite of this. You can give like the fake interview question that's like, you know, what are your weaknesses, Phil? And you're like, well, my weaknesses are I'm really a workaholic, you know. I really get involved in my job, and I work too hard. That's my weakness. When it comes to IT and business and bridging the gap between the business world and IT, what do you find is, I'm going to say our IT directors in general, biggest single biggest struggle, frustration, problem, or concern?
I'd say context, and conveying the context of an idea between two different parties is, everything's open to interpretation. And just like anything you put in writing, it's all based on the experiences and the role that you're in when you're, relaying that information. So, an IT goal, you know, what's important to me may not be important to someone else. So the context around it may not be weighted as heavily. So cybersecurity is very, very important to me, but it might not be as important to someone in accounting, right? When they want to build out a process, and why do we need these controls around everything? Why does everything have to have MFA? Why does everything have to have all this additional weight as they would see it? For us, it's reducing weight because we're less likely to get hacked, and we're less likely to have issues down the road. So I'd say context and interpretation are you know, top of mind, and being able to kind of reframe things is a valuable skill to have, especially when you get to the leadership level.
Oh, it's just another use case for the condescending IT bot. Yeah. Really is, you know? I don't know. We have a bot for that. Ask them, hey, why do we need a multi-factor authentication? Why do we need this? Listen up, you idiot. You want to get hacked?
The amount of times Copilot says, do you want to rephrase this, or do you want me to rewrite it for you in an email? I'm like, oh, are my bullet points not getting through? Like, try writing something more warmer.
Mine's always the slow down. Try writing something more warmer. I'm sorry. I'm sure that the rest of this world loves numbers secretly as much as you do. We want to sit around and talk about EBITDA all day, but we can't. So we've got this other thing that we're so thankful they got approved. It's called, security. But all jokes aside, security, is it hard? Would you say that's the hardest thing to get approved for the budget security spend, or what's the hardest IT thing to get approved for spend? And very, very scatterbrained person is me. That's me. Okay. To finish your point on the translation, when we did some data analytics years ago, when we had like a hundred shows, we took all the data and we and some other things. I did some what's it called when you're surveying? There you go, surveying of other IT directors, and we asked, you know, kind of like what all the biggest problems are. And one of the top four was translating technology to end users, which I think is they all said it in a different way. Like you just said it one way too, but would you say that that's the same thing? Like translating and like trying to train end users, that basically training end users and translating to end users that this is important and this is how the technology should work?
I 100% agree with that. So we partner a lot with our training team to help us take, I'm a big proponent of the self-service model, right? Teach a man to fish. essentially. So teaching our end users to be more self-sufficient, to be more security conscious, and teaching them best practices. It reduces the burden on us. It makes them more confident in their abilities to do things themselves as well before reaching out to IT. So translating all that to the end user for something operational versus maybe like something more project related, they're two different animals.
Yes. Before reaching out to the bot first, then reaching out to IT. What is the hardest thing you find to get approved for IT?
Right now, I'm fortunate to be in an organization that actually values cybersecurity and technology. So, but in a past life, it was tried any security tool, because this the top dollar amount that comes with them. That's generally hard to get approved, especially when it's not just enough to keep the lights on, right? Cybersecurity doesn't fall under that umbrella. Like, you don't need it to keep the lights on. Now, if you don't have it, your lights will turn off based on a malware or a PDF that comes through. And yes. then the checkbook opens magically, to one, repair, and two, insulate the environment. So, I'm thankful at this organization that from the get-go, cybersecurity has been a major focus, right? We need good firewalls. We need identity control. We need really good endpoint management. We need good endpoint protection. We need monitoring. All these things all these tools are available to us right now. So I can at least sleep at night.
I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm a guilty person in that realm, because we had a vicious malware attack on the podcast. And I'm thinking like, just this ring a dink podcast. And, and now, but all of a sudden now you've got, however many, 50,000 downloads or whatever. And you've got so many episodes and everything. And we're just this little WordPress site. And
WordPress hacks were pretty common back in the day, if I remember right.
And yeah, like, just someone got in through a back door, through like one whatever application or widget or app or something on the back end of WordPress. Yeah, plugin. Thank you. Really sounding stupid. Yeah, one plugin that just wasn't updated. Just takes one plugin of the thousands of plugins that you can have in behind WordPress to not be updated for this crazy thing that just came and shut us down. And then, so it was like this trickle effect of comedy of errors of all sorts from vendors and everything. So malware took it down. Okay. So whatever, call up the host, like, hey, what the heck's going on? Did the automatic backups work? No, of course not. Of course. So whatever, there was backups, but they were like old backups. It was like, maybe like 12 shows back, and I want to go rebuild 12 show pages. And it was just kind of like, so then web developer guys like, well, I can start removing the code. And as he's removing code, and as fast as he can remove code, new code's coming in. So then there's for this, update this. And it was kind of a nightmare. So then finally got everything cleaned up. Hurry up and make the backup. Made the backup. And so then call the host, and the host is like, well, let's, like you said, open your wallet. And then when something happens, you open your wallet. He's like, oh, we got this, security product. And we've got this. Great. I don't care. Go here. How much is it? Yes, here. Here's the credit card. Go. And then, so, okay. And we can migrate you to this more secure, faster hosting platform while you're at it. Let's upsell you. Now while we're at it, hey, by the way, we noticed the page loads are pretty slow. Would you like to get, yes, do it. Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. Yes. I want that too. Yeah. I want that too. So, okay. Here's what they did. Some morons. We got the backup. We get everything. So now we get the new security product. They're going in, they're going to clean all the malware off, get all the weird code off, everything. Okay. Great. Great. They're doing their job in parallel, supposedly, with the migrating to the new server platform, right? So get it all cleaned up, get it all fixed, and make the backup. I'm like, yes, like I can breathe again. Like, everything's good. We're all doing great. Oh, let's migrate to the new server now. So they migrate to the new server, and the backup that they used to upload to the new server was the old backup. And so, like,
with the malware?
With the malware. So immediately, like, all the work that the other company had done, like, in an emergency, like, was done. So then I'm like, you got to do it again. You got to do it again. They're like, we're sorry. Like, we put you in the top of the queue and, like, fixed everything. Now you got to wait in line. I got to wait in line for, like, us to get back around to you. And, yeah. So there's, like, a typical, that was, so that was a comedy of errors. It was a weird security thing based on plugins and a WordPress site coupled with, poor vendor support management and orchestration along with a security vendor. So there's one of my heartaches. But reason why I bring all of this is we don't ever really talk about website. I've never talked about website, web development, who's in charge of that. Like, where does that play in your wheelhouse? Web hosting?
So we use a third party, same to host our website. So we don't host it internally in an entirely separate island. But that's a joint venture between marketing and IT, right? We'll handle the infrastructure, the backup, and just kind of we do external scanning, external vulnerability scanning on them on a routine basis.
Right.
But the actual management of the website is still done through marketing or a third party marketing firm.
Okay. Development, all that type of stuff.
Yep. Development. That's all.
I find web development so difficult. I find it to be one of these really weird things. It's fine because we're trying to rebuild our website right now. We want all these like AI tools and things to go into it. We cannot find a good firm. We cannot find a good firm that's not like, give us $20,000 to get started, And then there's just no in between. So this is an advertisement right now. Anyone that is like really good at web development, or you have a kid that's wicked good at it that wants to come on and get involved and get somehow, we're still trying to do that.
We've gone through a few web development firms ourselves until we finally found one that resonated with like our brand and our style and, you know, put out really good quality work as well. So
you're free to plug them if you want. I would love people to be vendor sponsors and pay us money over here, but you're free to plug them if you want to.
Oh, sure. Shout out to Grin and IT Now.
How do you spell that?
IT Now.
No. Or did you say Grant though?
Grin. G-R-I-N.
Oh, Grin. Okay. IT Now. Web developers. What's their website? What's their URL?
I only have their emails.
Okay. Well, we need good customers too. Good customers. So translating is one of the most difficult things, as a IT leader's job. What's the second most difficult thing?
People management, right? You're working with the, highly skilled individuals, but every individual in tech has their own, you know, disparate personality type, distinctive personality type. So, commingling, I guess, a group of people that think they, you know it all at some sense, right? We are the de facto tech nerds of everything. And then working together there's a nuance to that.
Okay. What is that? What's the nuance?
The nuance is just making them work cohesively together. So finding that happy medium, keeping everyone, more or less happy, both personally and professionally. I found that as long as that you can be approachable, and level set with them on a routine basis, you know, you're not, you can get a team that functions together, right? We're all rowing in the same direction.
What does that look like literally? Like example?
I'm very transparent with my team on what's going on. They have a lot of curiosity. A lot of time IT is in the back of the room and they don't understand kind of what's happening with the business. So bringing in that external visibility to them and say, hey, this is what's happening, or let's work with other departments that's become more part of the business, is not something you find traditionally in IT before, right? We're our own siloed group, and us being able to interact with the rest of the company gives them a sense of belonging with the rest of the organization. So they're working towards something greater.
Yeah, it is important because every company that I ever worked at in corporate America, thinking back right now, No clue who IT was. Absolutely zero clue. Cannot name a single one.
I come from a hospitality background, so my family's in hospitality, like hotels and motels and those types of things. So I grew up in that type of environment, so I love the idea of IT being more of a customer service happy, like a more mm-hmm. instead of a dark room where we're that, you know, that cool restaurant that you want to go to and have great service.
At Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, we expect to win, and we expect our IT directors to win. And one of those areas where we know that we can help you win is internet service providers. As an IT director tasked with managing internet connectivity, few vendor relationships can prove more painfully frustrating than the one with your internet service provider. The array of challenges seems never-ending, from unreliable uptime and insufficient bandwidth to poor customer service and hidden fees. It's like getting stuck in rush hour traffic. Dealing with ISPs can try one's patience even on the best of days. So whether you are managing one location or 100 locations, our back office support team and vendor partners are the best in the industry. And the best part about this is none of this will ever cost you a dime due to the partnership and the sponsors that we have behind the scenes at Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Let us show you how we can manage away the mediocrity and hit it out of the park. We start by mapping all of the available fiber routes, and we use our $1.2 billion in combined customer buying power and massive economy of scale to map all of your locations, to overcome construction fees, to use industry historical data, to encourage providers to compete for the lowest possible pricing, to negotiate the lowest rates guaranteed, and to provide fast response times in hours, not days. And we leverage aggregators and wholesale relationships to ensure you get the best possible pricing available in the marketplace. And on top of all of this, you get proactive network monitoring and proactive alerts so that you're not left calling 1-800-GO-POUND-SAND to enter in a ticket number and wonder, why is my internet connection down? In short, we are the partner that you have always wanted, who understands your needs, your frustrations, and knows what you need without you having to ask. So we're still human, but we are some of the best, and we aim to win. This all starts with a value discovery call where we find out what you have, why you have it, and what's on your roadmap. All you need to do is email internet@popularit.net and say, I want help managing all of my internet garbage. Please make my life easier, and we'll get right on it for you. Have a wonderful day.
Do you encourage outreach from your team members to, I guess, the rest of the company, or how do you do that? Kind of what's a, give me a, maybe just like a day in the life or like a feel for it.
Yeah. I mean, if we're interacting with users through tickets anyway, you know, they'll go out on the floor and help them out if needed. It builds a connection, right? So, a lot of times people look at IT when you have an issue, so it has a very negative connotation to it. But if they look at us and say, hey, you know what, these guys are going to fix my problem, and I look forward to working with IT because I know whatever ailment I have will get resolved, it shines us in a better light. So letting them go on the floor and participating in corporate events, my guys actually were at the corporate run yesterday, right? They were participating with the rest of the company, running, you know, 4 or 5 miles, whatever it was, with the rest of the company. So they're participating in these events.
IT guys exercise? What?
My guys are all fitness, like heavy on the fitness. So they have weights in the area too. We just built the gym on one of our floors. So they have like little push-up competitions and stuff as well. So
That's pretty sweet. Well, you are a healthcare kind of organization recruiting people, so it's probably important. You mentioned you came from hospitality. Your family owns hotels and stuff. Usually, I would say 80% of the hospitality people that I work with, their last name is Patel. So you probably know a few.
Oh, no, plenty. Yeah, I think there's a couple in my family as well. And I think at some point we used to be Patels or something along those lines. But we're from the same region.
That's like every Best Western in the United States. Just ask for Mr. Patel and you will get the manager. So how'd you get into IT?
So I went to school for hospitality. And one of my classes was hospitality technology. So where they go over their GDSs and whatnot. And my professor, short version, I was working on like a little home server project. So I asked him like, hey, do you have, I forgot what I was asking. I think I was asking for a SCSI card or something like that. Do you have an extra one that I can, you know, procure from the university or whatnot, if they had to use one? And he's like, why do you need that? And it kind of opened up this conversation about tech. And he's like, I need a lab assistant. So I worked in the IT lab for a while and kind of worked my way up to being a sysadmin there, or an IT generalist is what they renamed it to. So
we'll always say IT lab. They make it sound like this mad scientist, like science thing. What was that? Can you describe that IT lab? Let's go back in time. Just give us a little picture. I want to tell us a story about the IT lab and what went on inside this lab.
Well, this IT lab was the student computer center, essentially. So it was 100 or a couple hundred machines just out on the floor that any user could use. And then in the back was our storage area where we had this automated machine that would like duplicate DVDs to send out. So that was the IT lab.
Okay. The what was the most fun? What's the best part about IT? What's the most fun part about
it? I get excited over fixing problems. That's my thing. Like, would that, and then being able to just mess with new tech and kind of be at the forefront of all this. That's my favorite part of IT. I also like tinkering. Like, even at home, I tinker with, I have like an Unraid server. I'm running like Docker containers and stuff. So like problem solving and building new things I can't do at work. I think that's the fun part of IT.
Okay, sweet. I ask a lot of people this. Well, first of all, did you have any mentors?
I guess every one of my leaders has been a mentor in some sense of the word. So that professor, Dale Gomez, like he was instrumental in who I am today. So he taught me, you know, how does the tech work and the basics of enterprise tech. And then from there, I went to a different company and I was on the project management side of things. So as a systems analyst, so I got to learn not just the tech part, but the tech to business translation portion of it. From there, went to a different company and I had an engineer lead and who taught me, you know, the deep inner workings of tech, and then eventually to where I am now. And I think a previous guest on your show, John Santi, who's been a mentor as well. So
John's he better come back on the show. We're mapping out. We're going to do a whole show. John, you have to do it now. And you better send, when this show comes out, you have to do it. You have to do the show, John, now, because we're going to talk about salespeople, relationships, referrals, face-to-face, cold outreach events, how everyone's in sales. Even IT is in sales, John. Yep. John Santi, we're talking about you.
There's a ball of vermin in it for you.
Yeah. He's been giving a lot of advice to sales reps and vendors lately. So we're gonna focus on that for the show. What do you think the end game is for what's going to happen over the next 20 years? Is Terminator 2 going to happen? Is AI going to take over?
Skynet's definitely happening. Like if the algorithm can do so much over the last 10 years. Imagine the AI powered algorithm, right?
I think I would have a lot of fun just hanging out with you. Skynet's real. What other movies are real that are going to happen? Skynet's real. What was that? That old Hackers. 80s movie, Hacker? That already happened. Tron. Yeah. What about Tron? Is that going to happen?
Tron. Let's see what the third version of the Apple headset is like.
That one's a little out there. He's like, I don't know. He's like, Terminator 2 is legit real, but Tron, nah, I don't know
about the Matrix one. Is
Matrix. Like, I'm surprised I haven't had a Matrix hack yet. I'm surprised I've which Matrix? Or which the Matrix? The first one was the best. What was up? All these other weird ones that came after.
Yeah. It just kind of went downhill as it went. Like, I love the action scenes of the second one, but the first one is just so good at world building.
What is there one that wasn't good in the third? That was better. Is there any movie that the third one got better than the first?
Oceans.
Hmm.
If you're into bank robbery movies. Well, it was the second one.
I wasn't a fan. I really wasn't. So, but yeah, but I thought the first one was bad. So that, so I guess you're probably right. So by default, the third one has to be good. Any other old school ones? Oh, well, I guess you could call video games. I think like Super Mario Brothers 3 might've been better.
Oh yeah. I just replayed that. Like I had an emulator on my TV, just playing it on with a 8-bit Do controller.
My kids, we had to go on a long plane ride, so I bought all these like $35 like emulator like Game Boys that have like, you know, 300 games on them. It was like $35. You had them all, and it had like, it had Super Mario 7. I'm like, what? There's all these versions that came out. Yeah, these like weird versions in other countries that came out that are like just really odd versions of it that were on there. But I went into the living room the other day because I killed the TV in my house. As much as I'm in technology, I'm like really like kind of secretly want to go off the grid, you know, and live in a yurt or something like that, you know. There's some days where I just want to probably leave, scream, run outside and scream into the air.
Could build a shipping container home in the forest.
Yes, two shipping containers. I probably need two, connected together in an L shape somehow with the second one. No, maybe three. I'm gonna stack them in a weird way. The definitely thought of all of that. Burying one. I used to think of burying a ship back in the day too. I've changed a lot over times. I used to be like an old hippie and I used to think of like, you know, what if we bury like a shipping container underground? No one will ever know it's there and there'll be like a pipe coming out of the ground, dude.
Like a, what is that movie? Resident Evil, where like they have the whole building underneath the ground. Like a whole city.
Something like that. We're derailing this show, but this is the part of the show where it's like, how do you connect with people? This is talking to people. This is how you talk to people again. In IT, how do you connect with IT people? I don't know. Talk about like, hey, Terminator 2, really. Everyone, advice out there. If any end users ever listen to the show that's not in IT, or maybe for IT directors, if you want, you could have like a sticker on your shirt that's like, how to talk to me, ask me about Terminator 2. Is Skynet real? Yes.
It's coming.
Vic, it has been a pleasure, an absolute pleasure having you on Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Any words of advice for, I don't know, floundering or non-floundering IT directors out there?
Just learn to take everything in with an open mind. And remember, the most expensive phrase in business is that's the way we've always done it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Thank you, sir.
Likewise.